Okay, so to update some of our listeners, read the Ina May on breastfeeding, right? And was going in being like, gonna try and breastfeed for a year. Excited, felt like that was a good goal. And I just weaned Dominic at 8 months, basically. And looking back now, still really enjoyed the book, still would recommend it. But I think one thing that I'm really like good at, or what comes very easy to me, is getting breastfeeding started with like all four of them. It was like birth immediately to the breast, and like never had a problem with like any of the things that people like have a problem with starting. So I'm just like pausing and telling myself like what a great gift that has happened, because that's like a super stressful, crazy time postpartum. And then I haven't had to worry about like getting a flow going, or do I have tongue tie? Like none of that has ever happened. Really grateful for that. And then as the months dragged on, it started to feel like, okay, he's a really fussy, distracted eater. My supply is going down a little bit. And I think the supply thing is because like everyone can breastfeed for as long as they want, and every baby can breastfeed. Right. And I think that it's like always, or almost always, very much a choice. And I think like I do not choose to like breastfeed throughout the night and breastfeed like long sessions on demand, like till baby falls asleep. That's just not my, and that's not you either. But for me, I think to keep up my supply, I think that's like the type of thing that I would have to do. And you know, we've talked about this before, that like women get their cycle back differently, and like sometimes it has to do with breastfeeding, and sometimes it totally doesn't have to do with breastfeeding, because so variable. But for me, for the last two kids, saw a stark return of my cycle with the drop of breastfeeding. So got my cycle back. I've had three ovulations now, and with breastfeeding, obviously, it's like really tricky to chart, because for a lot of women and for me, there's just like a ton of mucus. And it's something that like Alex and I talked about a month or so ago. Like we've had a few check-ins of like, are we still doing good? Okay, because then I moved to primarily pumping, where I was like still nursing him in the morning, first thing in the morning, because it was like dark and he was hungry and not distracted. And I had that, and that was really nice. And then throughout the day, I was pumping. And by the end of it, I was getting still like at least a good 15 ounces of milk every day, which isn't a ton, but it's also not nothing. And then by the end, I was definitely supplementing with formula and felt fine about that. And then really, I just had like a kind of a switch from one day to the next, where I was like, oh, I'm done. Like, I'm just done. I'm happy about it. I'm not like, wasn't this whole long decision. And I think 60% of it was like, yep, I would like to prioritize my intimacy life and like getting my cycle back to like a more chartable and have more available days. And the other 40% being like, this is a lot of work, because it is a lot of work. It's good work. But just like acknowledging, like, yeah, like whatever you're doing, breastfeeding or pumping, like it's a lot of work. Just seeing my supply like slowly going down. Like it gets to the point where you're like, is this still worth it? Like if I was getting like 30 ounces a day, like no problem. Like I probably would have kept doing it. But it was like, nah, like for the effort right now, this doesn't feel worth it to me anymore. And I was happy. And it was like from one day to the next, Alex was like, great. And he was like, I feel super like you're choosing me right now, and I appreciate that. And he's been like a super champion supporter of like, really appreciate that you're breastfeeding him, really appreciate that you're pumping. Like he's been completely supportive, washing bottles, like all the things that he should be doing. So it was great. And then what's funny now, it's been like 2.5 days since I've pumped. So I think I might be done, because you know, you still have to like wean off of that. Well, okay, so I was looking back at my Creighton chart after stopping breastfeeding Cecilia, and I still had like 4 really wonky months after that. Like I in my head with this one, I was kind of like, oh, I'll stop and then things will go back to normal. But I like looked back and I was like, oh, it was still really bad. Still tons of mucus. But I was like, I'm hopeful because she was 4 months old then. And now Dominic is 8 months and life is so much more settled than it was with having three super young kids. Even though I have four now, it doesn't feel the same type of like crazy. And I'm sleeping through the night. Like I'm so much less stressed. So I'm very hopeful. So far, it's only been, you know, we're still in the beginning stages of it. But so far, definitely I have been dry, which is great. But I've been super dry some of that time to the point where I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm about to get like a yeast infection or something because I'm so dry. Because like that's a great start to a yeast infection is being like super duper dry for me in my experience. And so, but I'm like, okay, look, I've done this before. I know like I have to stay super moisturized. I've got like my vitamin E oil and tablets as well. And then I did like my vaginal steaming, which like that helps. And
what is that? You always have these things.
So vaginal steaming is you basically get a bowl of hot water. And a lot of people do. I mean, you can get fancy. Like there is gear. There's a home market for this. I have that I got on Buy Nothing a while ago, like a one of those mugs that sits on a heating tray pad, hot plate thing.
You got a vaginal steamer off of Buy Nothing?
No, it's just a regular coffee cup. There's nothing vaginal about the steam or the cups or the bowls.
Okay.
And so I pour like super hot water into it, and then I sit on my squatty potty over it, like pants off, and you put you're supposed mm-hmm. to put like a sheet around you so that like steam, like warm steam, like it's not burning you. If it's burning you, you're doing it too hot. But I do it really hot, so I can't imagine that you would be doing it too hot. And you just let the steam rise. And this was something that I learned when I took that like midwifery course on like vaginal infections. They were like, you don't need to be, what's it called, like douching. You don't need to be like cleaning out. Like that's disrupting your pH balance. Like you're a clean person. Don't use soap ever inside. Like just clean with water. And like vaginal steam is, I don't remember all the science of it, but I know it feels good because when you're really dry, because it helps to like lubricate and it just like brings blood flow to the area. So it's like, okay, exercise more. Like it's just another like tool in the arsenal. That's what that is. I don't do it very often. It's just like in my back pocket.
I'm just imagining someone like listening to other podcasts, like this episode uh-huh. pops up for them. All of a sudden they're learning about vaginal steaming. That's why I'm laughing so much to myself.
Totally. I did not even know about it until 2 years ago. And when my friends brought it up to me, she was like, I feel like you probably already know about this. But I was like, no, tell me, because I'm like always down to learn something new. And she was having she was getting together with her two girlfriends. And the three of them would get together and like vag steam party. Just like, we're just going to hang out, sit on these pots. And like people do that. People totally do that. Because you just wrap a little blankie around and you just chill just out.
Blowing my mind.
But people, yeah, they buy like super cool gear for it. And you can even do like certain herbs and like steam certain herbs up that way. Have not explored that, but it's on the list. But here's what's kind of like, whoa, is that – so you remember I have like super small but like 1 degree prolapse of – what was it? Of my bladder – after mm-hmm. Dominic, and I went to pelvic floor therapy and we did the work and she was like, don't worry about this. Like you're super strong. Just like keep it up. It will either go away like on its own when you stop breastfeeding or like it'll just never go away for babies. Like it doesn't have to do with your strength. It's just like it's tired. Cool. But then I know when you stop breastfeeding, right? Like your hormone levels change so much and your estrogen changes so much that things change. And I think that changed, which is wild that it went away, I believe, based on my husband's explanation of that to me. There's no way to say it without saying it. So, yeah, he was like, yeah, it's gone. I was like, whoa, because, like, I can't feel it. The barrier has been removed. I was like, fascinating. Look how much my body has been through. I am amazing. Like, pregnancy and then postpartum and then post-breastfeeding, your hormones are just like, this is wild.
Okay, this is now reminding me of a reel you recently sent me about oversharing.
Yes. Overshare and then share some more. And then share some more.
People. We want to hear it.
If you don't want to hear it, stop listening. Not you, other people. Like, you know, keep moving. Keep moving. There are plenty of other podcasts that will just talk about lovely, delightful things. That are not too personal. Goodness. Oh. This is, to me, it's part of the water, what do they call it? Like the watering hole. I think women have been oversharing. What, you know, that like that phrase, like women used to all come to the watering hole, right? Like they all come to get their water and like they share. And like we don't quote unquote have that anymore because like people aren't like seeing each other and sharing. But I think, yeah, that like women have been oversharing for centuries and we've like forgotten how to do that.
You're just here to remind everyone. You're just here to the importance of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but Joseph is 6 months and you're still breastfeeding and that's going well. Is that right?
Correct. Yep.
It's great.
Yeah. I hadn't heard about all the details of this until now, but just your text of like, I'm done. Then I was reflecting on like my own kind of journey with him and was like, I mean, and when we recorded that Ina May book, I was like, what is there to say about breastfeeding? Yeah. Because I'm very grateful for how easy my journey has been, though kind of opposite of you, because I do have issues in the beginning.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
And then it's smooth sailing, but no, he's just like a happy, contented eater. So it's a very peaceful time of my day. And I'm really grateful for how it makes me sit down and pray. And it's just really nice. And I read a book recently. It's talking about the presence of God, practicing the presence of God. And I need to look back and see where in the book. But it had this image of like the breasts of God.
Oh, boy.
Like how a baby like nurses contentedly in its mother's arms, like how we can find that kind of happiness and satisfaction in the presence of God. Mm. And I was like, now I have this image of the breasts of God.
Yeah, that's
to sit with.
I'll go with the pelican image.
Yeah. There are many.
Oh, and Dominic started biting me and he has 4 front teeth.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's horrible.
Which, like, I'm all for a good flick, but he wasn't getting it. He just, like, I think once babies are maybe, I don't know, what would you say, like, 10, 12 months, they can, like, be responsive to that and learn. But, like, you flick him and he's like, like, he can't compute that quite yet. Or, like, the hook, like, I'd hook him out and, like, wait, no, like, no, you got to wait now. It just wasn't. And I know if I had like wanted to, I know I could have kept going. I know that like every woman can breastfeed. And I have learned more about breastfeeding and breast milk during this period than any other, I feel like, time of my life with kids. And that was really fun. And I think of it as like a very good thing. And I know like you have to teach babies how to breastfeed if you want to, and you have to teach yourself and you have to.
Yeah, like you went back and talked to the lactation ladies like multiple times with Dominic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm like, oh, like I'm just, I'm happy to be done. It's a lot of work and I'd rather like do other things right now.
Biting, that is hurts so bad. And then you're just like, ah.
What's gonna biting happen and next laughing. Time? Yeah. And I was nursing him, like I said, in the mornings. And I'd be in the boys' room. And so Paul would be up. So I'd be like nursing Dominic on the couch. Paul would come sit next to me. And then would just want to play with him. And the boys would just want to play with each other. And they'd be like laughing. And so many times I'd have to be like, stop. Which is also like not what I want to do in the morning. Like I want them to bond with each other and play and for him to be excited, not for me to be like, don't talk to your brother right now. He's trying to eat. Like, you know, it's just like all of these factors like is what went into the decision. But it was still very much, yeah, like a from one day to the next. And I texted him like, done.
And I was like, decisive.
It's nice not to have to mull over a big thing. So yeah, we'll see how it goes now. All right, sounds good.